This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to Mark right now. He's calling from Delaware. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, I just want to say that was a great 12 hours of radio yesterday. I always like when your station does it. Nice to hear you guys do the crossover shows and interact with everybody. So
that was fun. Cool. Thank you, man. And let me just say thank you to McGurk's, and thank you to everyone who listened. And then, obviously, of course, thank you to everyone who came out. We met a lot of WIP listeners that were there, and I just want everyone to know we appreciate you. So,
and what an awesome spot.
Very cool spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous. No question. All right, Mark, what do you make of the Eagles in free agency so far?
Well, I wanted to make 2 points today. So, number one, I wish I would have got on like 5 minutes ago because I was going to say I'm not real thrilled about free agency, and I was going to talk about what Schefter put out on you know, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm excited about that, man. I mean, you know, they lost a lot of players, but having 20 draft picks in the next 2 years and 17 in the first five rounds is definitely, you know, positive for them.
Well, it is. I'll just say this. That generally will have... Now, I was going to say, boy, voice got high there, John.
Hey, now.
That was not good.
What are you doing?
He's the two. I mean...
Yeah, very similar.
Seems like it happens all the time.
Mark, I was going to say that has more of an impact on 2028 and 2029, which I do think it has more of an impact, but part of Schefter's point.
That's kind
of
like yodeling, what you just did there.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
But you're a yodeler.
Drafting those guys, it does help you keep some of the more high-priced guys. With that said, the actual playing of those players will probably impact more, you know, 3 and 4 years from now. Because to the point Devin made earlier, what Quinion did and what Cooper DeJean did is very historically rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't normally...
You can't assume that every draft pick is going to do that.
Yeah. Don't count on rookies.
I totally agree. Yeah. So, Joe, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Over the last couple of weeks, you keep on being concerned about the Eagles schedule for next year.
Oh, man, it's rough.
You got to get back to yodeling. I really do want to get back to yodeling.
We'll get to it. Go ahead, Mark.
So let me ask you a question. Who's the Eagles' biggest contender in the NFC East?
Well, in the NFC East, it's obviously Washington.
Might be Washington, but no conference.
Do you realize that Washington and the Eagles basically have the same schedule for next year?
Well, it would be
he's right.
It
would be close. It's really close. No, I looked it up yesterday. It's negligible is the point.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, one and two in a division is going to be close with two having a perceived advantage. But I got you. Yeah.
And the Lions and the Vikings schedules not much easier, to be honest with you.
Well, listen, this is part of how teams like the Vikings get created, meaning – who's next year's Vikings team? Who's next year's Washington team that feasts on an easier schedule? And see, here's one of Mark. I'll give you one of
the
my
Bears.
Maybe
that's a pretty good one. It could be.
Maybe the quarterback's got to be better than he was.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe
for
he's
sure.
Probably gonna be.
Mark, I just like obviously I feel good about the Eagles. I'll just say this: between the schedule and the defensive losses, and what I think will likely be more injuries, although they've had a pretty good run the last couple of years, not having too many. You know, I just think it's going to be harder for the Eagles next year, and it wouldn't shock me if they're not the one seed and have to play multiple playoff games on the road.
They weren't the one seed this year.
I understand. That's why I said multiple playoff games on the road.
All right. Hey, take it to the
bank.
Do
you think they're going to lose the division? Because the only way they play multiple on the road is if they are the only the most likely way. Most likely way.
You can be the three seed and play two games on the road. So, you know,
the NFC is weak, though, man.
We'll see. We'll see. Mark, give me an answer for a family member and a title.
Well, I wish ESP was in to vote for my thing. I'm going to say I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah, I hate that song.
Really?
Yeah, it's horrible.
You hate
it's not
that
fantastic.
Song.
Wait, does
I like it?
Does horrible. Does ESP like that song?
He just loves Christmas music.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's any reason to hate.
No,
the song.
That one.
It's,
and
a good
the,
song.
It's kind
a cute
of weird.
Little
it's
song.
Horrible. A little weird, but it's catchy.
And then the grandmom got run over by the reindeer. It's another.
Well, that's awful.
Yeah,
it's but
a little
I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus is like a cute little way of saying you've got like a wonderful family unit that loves one another.
All right, so what do you want to do with yodeling here, John?
It's nice.
I think it's nice.
Have you listen to yodeling? Like, real? Have you ever heard
please
people
don't,
yodel?
Please don't yodel.
I'm not. I can't. Okay. I can't come anywhere close to yodeling.
Good.
Have you heard how
I've heard
skillful
what is the purpose
real
of
yodelers
it?
Are?
Good question, Ben.
What's the purpose
of
it? I don't know. I don't know, but they have,
like, I don't...
Ben, they have contests. Like, they have world champions. Yodeling is big business. I don't
but
know
why?
Anything about it. I don't know why. I have no idea why, but it is massive. And Jimmy, I hope that you are like looking at stuff right now where it's just amazing. You're seeing the yodeling.
I'm not really. I got a 12-year-old yodeling if you want to hear it.
I mean, this is brutal.
I don't think it's brutal.
No.
I think it sounds awful.
It literally serves
I think
no
it sounds
purpose.
Like an animal dying.
It does.
It does.
Right?
It
sounds like
it
an animal is dying.
There's
live.
Yodeling in the Sound of Music. That is good.
Yeah, that part's good.
That part is very
this
good.
This sounds horrible.
Play.
Yeah. This reminds me of how the Phillies hit last October.
It's awful. Like, this is one of the worst things I've ever heard.
All right, so hopefully we're done with the yodeling portion.
Just listen to that.
Let's eliminate this from society, please.
Do people bump that? Like,
no.
is someone riding
bump.
Around with the windows down and yodeling
no
coming
chance.
Out?
I would hope not.
No chance.
You mean, like,
sunroof open?
No. By the way, it's not,
I might have nightmares about that.
94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. John, you are a strange bird, man. I know people think I am, but
wow,
you got
to bump the yodel, man.
I brutal.
Pulling up
all
with
right.
the light.
So I want to get to the Phillies thing here. Obviously, the Eagles have been the main topic for all the obvious reasons. Day four of free agency today. But, you know, one of the big things with the Phillies is going to be, are they going to change their approach at the plate? Put it another way, are they going to try to put the ball in play more? Maybe less launch angle stuff, hopefully less strikeouts. I mean, we've talked about maybe they change the lineup. But more important than changing the actual order of the lineup, is the approach to the hitters. And so, we know who we're talking about. We're talking about Trey Turner. Yeah. We're talking about Castellanos. We're talking about, those primarily.
Those are pretty much the big ones.
But, I mean, Rojas
Brandon
hit
Marsh
the ball.
Too.
That's old.
Like,
Marsh
I would
a little
get
bit.
Nuts with Brandon Marsh at times.
Yeah, a little
so
bit.
So did they abandon the, hey, someone else might lead off thing? Is that now officially kaput?
No, I don't think it's kaput.
Ben, who is going to lead off?
I still think Schwarber's going to lead off.
Well, that's the point. He's leading off in these games now. I don't see. I was thinking maybe Bryson Stott would get a chance to show what he could do.
Not good enough.
Seems like they moved
season.
Right
he
past
could at
that.
Some point.
Yeah, I think the team would be best served if Trey leads off, utilize that speed a little bit more.
But he's got to have the different approach to the plate and be good enough to get on base.
I know, but I do think he will see a lot more fastballs if he's leading off.
But
if you have Harper behind him,
he's
and
a pretty
then
good
Bowman
fastball hitter.
He's a very good fastball.
Yeah,
hitter.
He is.
But
yeah.
Doesn't it feel like they've given up on that concept now?
No, I don't think they've given up on it.
Okay, good.
Got to make a decision in about a week and a half. Opening day in 2 weeks. All right, so let's listen. Bryce Harper was on with the afternoon show last week, and he talked about, and you can tell that he's of the mindset team-wise, they got to make some adjustments. Here's what Bryce said to Spike, Ike, and Jack.
From a team standpoint, we just got to adapt. You know, I think, obviously, we're going to hit the homer. I mean, it's just, I think that's something that we do. We're going to hit the homer. We're going to do, we're going to hit a lot of doubles and score a lot of runs. But we just got to understand that, you know, in big moments, big situations, we can't try to do too much and just got to play our game.
What he said at the very end, just got to play our game, I think that's such a normal way an athlete will end a statement. And so it almost sounds, it's like the opposite of what he was saying. Like, just got to play our game. No, what he's really saying is we got to have a new game, and then we got to play that game. So I'm glad that he's of that mindset. Look, I don't need an adjustment from Bryce Harper. I just think he's incredible. And I think he and Saquon are the two best players in Philly sports. But it's the other guys I need adjustments from. I'm glad, though, he's of that mindset for the team. Dombrowski, let's go to something he said to us last week when we had him on the program, whichever day it was, Thursday, I think. And it was in the 9 o'clock hour. He said something, and Rhea, you know, this didn't sit well with some people when he talked about, you know, the approach to play in the playoffs.
No.
Let's listen to this exchange we had last week with Dave Dombrowski.
I mean, you can talk about plate discipline, and I know that everybody talks that about, and you always try to increase that and be a little bit better. But the reality is, it was interesting last year we went into it at the time, and in the playoffs, our plate discipline was in the middle of the pack versus playoff clubs.
Didn't look like it to me.
No, but
no, I hear you. You're basing that on
statistics. Yes,
it didn't. And obviously, we were living and dying with every pitch.
Sure,
as you know.
Yes,
as I'm sure
as
you,
I was too.
You were as well.
But it's interesting at that time. But it just shows how hard it is to score runs.
For a guy who's very smooth with how he presents things publicly, that was an unwise.
He should stop saying it. He said it in the postseason press conference. Yeah. Someone should have gotten to him immediately after and said, "David, stop it."
Even if it's true, no one wants to hear it.
I didn't have as big a problem.
I don't want him to think it.
Oh, well, that's the point. I didn't have a huge problem like a lot of listeners did with the interview. That part I have a problem with.
It was planned.
Don't say that, dude. Yeah. Like, I don't care if you were second. I don't care if the numbers said you were the best at it. Like, we watch with our eyes. Yeah. Like, just don't say it.
It was the biggest reason why they lost to the Mets. They had guys flailing. And Ben,
the Diamondbacks, too. The biggest reason, and the Diamondbacks. Suspects.
And Ben, when that series ended, you went nuts on our show the next day.
Yeah, I wasn't very happy.
That's the most mad Ben has been. I think that's the most fired up Ben's been on our show.
Yeah, I know.
Was it right after that?
But I will say, and this is why it's, I know you can't change the spots in a leopard. I understand that. But what I saw in the games that I've done in spring training, last Saturday, I think they had 10 hits, and we went into the seventh inning. They had 10 hits. They had two extra base hits, a homer by Bohm and a double by Bohm. But they scored 5 runs on 8 singles.
So you sense they're spraying the ball around. You think they're working on it.
And all the other hits were up the middle or the opposite way.
Okay.
And I know it's spring training. I know it doesn't mean squat, but it's a good sign.
Look, Schwarber
is a good sign.
Schwarber last year is an example. If an athlete makes a concerted effort to make an adjustment, you can improve and play differently.
Mm-hmm.
He did it last year. Now you got to get the other guys to do it. So, look, we'll see if they do. The good news is for the fruits of the labor to bear out, you know, plus or minus, you have 6 months to work it out. Meaning they're going to make the playoffs whether they swing for the fences or not, I believe. I mean, you know, 90-something percent chance they say the Phillies make the playoffs.
Yeah, if they stay healthy enough, they will.
So they have time to experiment. They have time to work on it. Come October, they've got to be ready. And, John, I'll give you an Eagles analogy. I always thought this was an Andy Reid weakness with the Eagles offense. I felt like when the Eagles would get to the playoffs, they were one-dimensional in some of those years where they weren't effective enough in running the ball, power running the ball.
Well, they were effective. He just stopped.
Well, I guess that's part of it.
The Tampa game.
Part of it.
Brian Mitchell started out, ran it down their throats, Deuce ran it in, and then he threw the ball 50 times.
He threw the ball a lot. Versus the Giants in the 2000 playoff game. My point
is, want to run was lacking.
When you are in the playoffs, because the other team is either good or great, it's important to be able to win multiple ways.
Yes.
And the Phillies were not equipped last year in the playoffs to win by spraying the ball around. They just weren't.
Hmm. And they'll be focused on improving in that area.
I can't believe it
caught up to Andy Reid, and he actually did what we hated against us in the Super Bowl to our advantage. It's unbelievable.
I've said this a gazillion times. The last couple of years, the Phillies are like that great three-point shooting basketball team.
That's a good
analogy.
If
those threes are going down, hey, man, the world is great.
Yep.
But if those threes aren't, you have to find other ways to score. And I think the Phillies players realize that this is their window. The window is closing, and they have to make the adjustments necessary because they've lost the way in the fashion they've lost the last couple of years.
I like that analogy a lot.